You are listening to Free Radio Olympia. Here at the Thunderbolt, I tend to cover a lot of controversial topics from controversial points of view. And therefore, some of the other folks that work with this radio station always appreciate it when I point out that while they may agree with the views expressed on this program, they also very well may not. And in either case, they are in no way responsible for that content. Therefore, if my show makes you want to start hurling blunt objects at people, then make sure you choose the correct target, which in this case would be me, not them. And now, on with the show. It is time for the Thunderbolt. And at the Thunderbolt, we believe in just saying no to boring public affairs programming. The Thunderbolt. Faster than a speeding bullet point. More powerful than multi-gigabyte bandwidth. Able to leap mixed metaphors in a single bound. Defending truth, justice, and the un-American way. Boldly going where no hack radio show has ever gone before. The Thunderbolt airs every Saturday at noon right here on Free Radio Olympia. Listen at your own risk. Do you remember the old classic novel and movie, The War of the Worlds? Well, in that story, the Earth is invaded by technologically advanced Martians who begin wiping out humanity and who seem to be unstoppable. Our mightiest weapons proved utterly useless, and the Martians began systematically removing the human race from the planet Earth. Their victory seems assured, and everyone was about to give up hope until the Martians are exposed to a coronavirus. In this case, the common cold. And the virus accomplished what humanity's most terrible weapons could not, i.e., the virus kills all the Martians, and humanity is saved. And I suppose it must remain to our imaginations as to whether or not the Martians may have proven to be more responsible stewards of the Earth than humanity has proven to be. All right. Welcome to the Thunderbolt for November 6th, 2020. So, the election has happened. But since I record the individual sections of my show anywhere between a few days to a couple of weeks before airtime, I face the difficulty this week of airing a post-election show when I don't know who won the election. So at this point, I honestly don't know who's going to win because I'm still trying to figure out if revealing the rump's tax records is this cycle's October surprise, which is usually the signal of which candidate that the Wall Street war machine is going to install in the White House this time. James Comey throwing Hillary Clinton under the bus was how I figured out that the machine was going to go with the rump in 2016. But since all the rules are now off the table when it comes to the rump, then I haven't seen anything that is obvious this time. So in light of my ignorance and in keeping with my quest to keep my show ever evolving, I've decided that this week I'm going to start off the show with a movie review. So I love movies that shake up standard reality paradigms. Therefore, I'm going to recommend a Netflix movie called Captain Fantastic. In Captain Fantastic, Viggo Mortensen plays a single father with six children, and he is raising them in, let us say, a rather unorthodox manner. His stated purpose, in fact, is to raise a generation of philosopher kings and queens. His children learn everything from interpreting Albert Camus to how to ambush and kill a deer armed only with a hunting knife, for instance. The movie opens, in fact, with a scene featuring the 16-year-old son doing just that, whilst covered head to toe in mud. All six of the children speak several languages. All six of the children have the Bill of Rights memorized. At one point in the movie, the 5-year-old daughter asks, "What is rape?" Dad explains that rape is when someone, usually a man, forces someone else, usually a woman, to have sexual intercourse against their will. So daughter then asks, "What is sexual intercourse?" Dad explains that sexual intercourse is when a man puts his penis into a woman. With a look of deep puzzlement, daughter asks, "Why would anyone ever want to do that?" Whereupon Dad explains, "Because it feels real good, and because that is how humans make babies." So daughter considered that for a moment, and then she observed, "But that is where we pee." Which is kind of funny, because I've always had some mixed feelings about that fact as well. And in addition to all these other eccentricities, rather than celebrating Christmas, this family instead celebrates Noam Chomsky Day. When one of his sons complains of this and asks why they can't just celebrate Christmas like everyone else does, Dad asks him, "Are you saying that you would prefer to celebrate a magical, fictitious elf rather than a living humanitarian who has done so much to promote human rights and understanding?" Dad then surveys the rest of his crew and says, "Okay, so defend your position now. Let us have a discourse on the subject of Christmas." But son does not have a comeback to that, and so he eschews further discourse on the subject and instead walks away, shaking his head. Then Dad gives his 5-year-old daughter a K-bar fighting knife for her Noam Chomsky Day present, presumably so she could begin her training on how to ambush and kill a deer armed only with a knife. and 5-year-old daughter is overjoyed with her gift. Again, this is called Captain Fantastic, and it is currently airing on Netflix. The main difference between Democrats and Republicans is that Democrats are elites who think that we, the masses, can be pacified into submission to their war machine. Whereas Republicans are elites who think that we, the masses, need to be beaten into submission. The important part, though, is that both parties are cogs in the same oppression machine. Now, had someone held a gun to my head in 2016 and insisted that I must vote for either Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump, I frankly would have voted for Trump. Not only that, but at the time, I was in some ways glad that he ended up winning. This was because I knew that if Hillary Clinton had won, business as usual would have continued unabated, and the great American imperialism machine would have ground on, mass murdering women and children and utterly devastating entire regions of the planet. I figured that if Trump won, the left would finally friggin' wake up and take notice of the fact that we are on a train that is going down a mountain without brakes, and the bridge at the bottom has been washed away. And that what we need is emergency action. I was hoping that maybe a large and thriving anti-war movement, like the one we had going under George W. Bush, and that died without a whimper the day that Barack Obama took office. Well, I was hoping that the anti-war movement might even be revitalized. Well, none of that happened. The left, instead, decided to double down and keep following a reactionary herd of dying dinosaurs. They have all stuck with the same corrupt warmongers that have been running the Democratic Party for decades now. Evidently, we need to just keep electing these same people over and over again because they've been doing such a great job, right? Evidently, they continue to feel this way even though they couldn't even beat a literal cartoon character like Donald frigging Trump in an election. Now, some might think the fact that they couldn't even win an election against a ridiculous con artist with the emotional stability of a 10-year-old schoolyard bully might challenge their assumptions about winning candidates. But as with the fact that Barack Obama was actually a vile war criminal who personally ordered the mass murder of women and children with remote-controlled flying robots, and as with the fact that if there was any justice in this world, then Barack Obama would be spending the rest of his life in a prison cell, well, we just close our eyes and say, nyah, nyah, nyah. And we just refuse to think about things like that. It was the Russians' fault that Hillary Clinton lost that election. Yeah, right. And so now, the Democrats decide to double down and give us yet another lying, corrupt, reactionary warmonger as their candidate. And this time, he is not only yet another white dude, but he is a white dude who is almost 80 years old. Meanwhile, war criminal Barack Obama is out there encouraging young people to vote. And he is doing this just shortly after conspiring to kill the candidacy of the one candidate that young people were indeed showing up in droves in order to vote for him. The Democrats have learned nothing. So I suspect that the release of Donald Trump's tax records may be this cycle's October surprise, meaning that evidently Joe Biden is probably going to be their selectee. But frankly, I have no idea who is going to win. Frankly, I don't even really care all that much. I would know that there is at least one silver lining to the Rumpf's administration. Consider the fact that the election of Donald Trump almost certainly led to the Black Lives Matter movement. And I would suggest that the Black Lives Matter movement is probably the most successful civil rights movement in American history. And I suspect that BLM may very well never have come about without the Rump basically giving the police license to do whatever the hell they wanted to do. And it is looking like there may be literal battles in the streets no matter which way this election goes. And I have given up on anyone that still seriously thinks that the Democratic Party is anything other than an integral part of our problem. So frankly, that is why I don't really care which one of them wins this time. Biden is ahead in the polls, but a lot of Trump supporters don't participate in polls. And the kind of people who showed up to vote for Trump last time are the kind of people who are usually ignored by pollsters. And the polls don't even really matter all that much anyway. Because in any election that is anywhere near close, all they need are enough votes to get close enough to have their rigged voting tabulators in Ohio, Michigan, and Florida, amongst other places, and to unleash their fraction magic vote counting software. And the winner will be, as usual, whoever Goldman Sachs says the winner will be. If anything, this evil machine needs to have its gears jammed. And I suspect that would happen much more quickly under the Rump than it would under Joe Biden, because if Biden wins, then all of the usual characters will be back controlling his puppet strings. And those people could probably hold things together a little more efficiently than this gang of crazy psychopaths that the Rump has chosen to surround himself with. Yes, Joe Biden's handlers will all be very sane psychopaths. And these days, I'm wondering whether a sane psychopath is even an oxymoron anymore. Well, I'm sorry, people, but I don't want their imperialist war machine to operate more efficiently. I want it to stop being an imperialist war machine altogether, in fact. I would prefer, in fact, living in a world where everyone is able to accomplish anything that they are capable of accomplishing, but that they cannot currently accomplish due to some asshole standing there with a foot on their neck. And ultimately, it doesn't matter if it's the left foot on your neck or the right foot. It is a foot on your neck, and that foot is going to stay there until people figure out that their entire machine is rotten to its core and needs to be drastically altered. So everyone seems to consider these latest civil uprisings centered upon Black Lives Matter as a spontaneous reaction to the murder of George Floyd. But actually, there was absolutely nothing spontaneous about that uprising. A lot of people have been doing a lot of organizing for a lot of years to make this moment happen. Yes, this latest uprising, which in total numbers of participants has now become the largest protest movement in American history. And this uprising is, in fact, the end result of over 400 years of non-stop work that often proved fatal to the people who did that work.
Try and get behind you. Don't you let them do it. You know what I'm talking about? You hear me talking?
I know your history books never told you this, but there has been a massive civil rights movement in this country going on nonstop for that entire 400 years. This is how activism works. It is three steps forward and two steps back. It often takes a very long time. During the 19th century, the superiority of the white race was not even questioned. Until the Civil War, advocating for the abolition of slavery was considered to be so off the charts radical that advocating for abolition was literally illegal in many parts of the country. And doing so in some parts of the country was very likely to get you lynched. Postmasters were fully empowered to confiscate abolitionist literature, and they did so whenever they could find it. So we have come a ways since then, but progress is glacially slow. But it is there. 3 steps forward, and then 2 steps back. You bang your head on a wall for years or for centuries, and then, seemingly suddenly, but actually only after the requisite years or centuries of head banging, the wall collapses. And we can move our 3 steps forward. Times like this is what all that work we've all been doing for all these years has all been all about. Times like these are what all those people gave their lives for. So let's push this hard and fast while we have the momentum. We owe it to those martyrs, and we owe it to ourselves. Black Lives Matter. And on that note, we're going to take a quick station break. The Thunderbolts will be back in just a moment. The views expressed on this program are strictly those of the show's producers and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station nor anyone associated with this radio station. And now, back to the Thunderbolt.
It's the Channel 7 10 o'clock news. News for people who've given up.
Good evening. And now, Jane with the weather. Jane?
Thanks, Tom. The Arctic just had its second hottest April on record. The sea ice is shrinking, and no one will do a damn thing about it.
So, if I understand correctly, a piece of the planet is literally falling apart.
Correct.
And if this is the second hottest April in history for the Arctic, when was the hottest April in history?
Last year.
So, if people want the U.S. government to take action on global climate change, what should they do?
If people want Congress and the President to take action on global climate change, what they should do is grow the fuck up.
Thanks, Jane. In other news, a musician you like has died. He was 52 and should have lived a lot longer, but didn't. Andrew has that story.
That's right. Ronnie Ronson of Ronnie and the Ron Boys died Thursday after fighting the kind of rare, slow cancer that Mitch McConnell will never get.
Thanks, Andrew. Over to John for sports.
The Yankees are currently leading the American League East because the team spent more money than God on their players, and everyone goes around acting like that's okay.
And how's your team doing, John?
Well, I'm a Pirates fan, so fuck me, right?
Fuck you indeed. Well, that's it for Channel 7's 10 o'clock news. News for people who have given up.
All right, welcome back. So for the feature piece this week, we are going to Thunderbolt Roy Cohn. For Mr. Cohn is about to receive the dishonor of being the next nomination for the official Thunderbolt Most Evil Persons in History Award.
Oh.
Yes, nomination number 5. We'll be going to that infamous fascist guru, Roy Cohn. That's spelled C-O-H-N. If you are a political junkie, you have possibly heard of Roy Cohn. But if you're not, then possibly you haven't heard of him. Roy Cohn is similar to Edward Bernays in several ways. And one of those ways is that both men represent a couple of the biggest movers and shakers in human history that hardly anyone has ever heard of. Roy Cohn was both closely connected with a large number of notable gangsters, whilst also being the man most responsible for both the existence of and the trajectories of the careers of such men as Joseph B. McCarthy, Ronald Reagan, Roger Stone, and yes, Donald J. Trump. Roger Stone had gotten his start as a Nixon dirty trickster, and it was Stone who later introduced Cohn to Reagan, whereupon Cohn later introduced Reagan to Rupert Murdoch, and was thus responsible for that infamous collaboration as well. There is evidence that Murdoch later became involved in a privately funded propaganda project to help sell Reagan's murderous Central American policies, and that this PR operation was largely overseen by senior CIA propaganda specialist Walter Raymond Jr. and CIA director William Casey. Cohn had come to J. Edgar Hoover's and Joseph McCarthy's attention after Cohn's prominent role in the 1951 espionage trials of Julius and Ethel Rosenberg. Shortly after this was when both Cohn and Ronald Reagan got their starts in politics by participating in Joseph McCarthy's infamous anti-communist purges of the 1950s, with Cohn acting as McCarthy's chief counsel, and with Reagan acting as a witness against alleged communists in Hollywood. In addition to Rupert Murdoch and Donald Trump, Mr. Cohn's clients also included such widely diverse interests as the Catholic Church, New York Yankees owner George Steinbrenner, a large number of New York nightclub owners, including Studio 54 owners Steve Rubell and Ian Schrager, and of course, a large number of mob bosses, including Tony Salerno, Carmine Galante, and John Gotti. Cohn's clients even included Harvard Law School professor Alan Dershowitz, the infamous Zionist and close associate of Jeffrey Epstein. Quite the resume, eh? And Roy Cohn was also a closeted gay and a Jew who persecuted other gays and Jews, both for being gay and for being Jews. And according to Clancy Seagull, quote, not even a demented Hollywood casting director, high on meth, could have dreamed up a low-life street beast from 20,000 fathoms like Roy Cohn, who is Donald Trump's longtime Rasputin. Actually, I wrote an entire novel wherein Rasputin was one of the central characters. And compared to Roy Cohn, Rasputin was a friggin' Boy Scout. Though Rasputin was indeed a thoroughly demented character in his own demented way. And so while I'm not real comfortable with that Roy Cohn Rasputin analogy, due to the slur on Rasputin's character, at the same time, I must admit that the Cohn-Rasputin analogy is not 100% off the mark as far as having some manic secret power working behind the throne. Yes, Rasputin just wanted to party and get laid. He was legendary for his physical stamina in both of those endeavors. Rasputin had a habit of destroying the careers of anyone who got in the way of his partying and getting laid. But otherwise, Rasputin didn't really care all that much about politics. Roy Cohn, on the other hand, wanted to brutally oppress all poor people in general and people of color in particular. And he was spectacularly successful at mentoring all of the most powerful and infamous American fascists of the late 20th century. And so far, of the early 21st century as well. The details of Mr. Cohn's perfidy are nearly endless. Cohn's life forms a single thread across more than half a century that directly ties the McCarthy era to the age of Trump. And that is one truly dark thread. Roy Cohn pulled every dirty trick, he buried everybody, and pulled every scam you can think of and several others that he thought up himself. The central lesson Cohn always drilled into his proteges was this: always attack and never apologize. Trump first hired Cohn to represent him when they met at a nightclub in the mid-70s. And the Trump Organization was being sued by the federal government for its racist housing practices. And according to the Atlantic magazine, Roy Cohn won his cases by not losing, by counterattacking, raising phony charges, and admitting no wrong. And Donald Trump paid careful attention. According to Roger Stone, quote, Roy would always be for an offensive strategy. These were the rules of war. You don't fight on the other guy's ground. You define what the debate will be about. I think Trump would learn that from Roy. I know I learned that from Roy. Roy Cohn enjoyed the life of a New York celebrity for decades, though he was pretty much perpetually under investigation for things like perjury and witness tampering during this entire period. And Mr. Cohn was finally disbarred for stealing his own client's money. During the height of the Russia investigation, Donald Trump reportedly asked, "Where is my Roy Cohn?" Thankfully, Mr. Cohn's services were unavailable by that point, since Roy Cohn died in 1986 at age 59, ironically, of complications resulting from AIDS. We're still alive, though, and that means it is time to get to work. And that's it for the news and commentary section this week. I'm going to fill out the rest of the hour with some music. This is Ludovico Einaudi. Thank you. So that tune was called Experience. Before that, we had Life from Ludovico Einaudi. And that is it for this week. See you next week. The Thunderbolt is a production of Dancing Angel Media, which is solely responsible for the content. Neither the stations that air the Thunderbolt, their sponsors, their members, their underwriters, nor anyone else that has much to do with anything else in any way, is responsible for the content of the Thunderbolt. Nor do they necessarily agree with the views expressed on the Thunderbolt. If you have any comments, or if you wish to express an opposing opinion, you should send an email to dana98501@gmail.com. And we will make arrangements. And I hope that you have a day. And you may want to grab a pen or something, because I'm about to give you some information. If you like what you hear here on the Thunderbolt, then the Thunderbolt archives are stored at dana98501.wordpress.com. That's DANA98501, which is the downtown Olympia zip code, .wordpress.com. And if you would like to continue hearing the Thunderbolt, you can contribute to our cause at patreon.com/thethunderbolt. And
thank you very much.